Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is our weekly mini episode. Sorry that we didn't get one out last week. We apologize. We were really busy.
Keegan was out of town.
I was out of town.
I was dying.
Yeah, basically.
It was a thing.
All the things. All the things were happening.
All good things, all bad things.
So this is the episode where we kind of discuss things that are in the news. And because we missed a whole week, and because, weirdly enough, I've been getting people sending me things, like articles to read about.
Why don't people send me that shit?
I don't know. Send things to Madigan, too, because I get overwhelmed.
Or just you send them to me. Be like, I can't do this. Madigan,
help. So I do have quite a few things to bring up this week. I think I'm only going to bring up a couple of them because then there's kind of an issue that I wanted to talk about at the end. It's a surprise for you.
Good. All of this is going to be a surprise for me because I did very little research for this
mini episode. I'm sure you'll have plenty to talk about.
I'm sure I will. Keegan's just going to run it and then I'm going to glide on her coattails, which I feel like I do a lot of.
No. Let's talk about the terrible shit first. Right?
Okay, cool. Let's
I feel
do
like
it.
We kind of have that. We do that.
We should. Can't talk about it last. It just leaves us all feeling awkward. And then we're sitting in us in a closet.
And we're like, hey,
sad.
Fuck everything.
Yeah.
The world is
now
shit.
We're crying into our wine glasses in a closet.
Okay, so this was something that a friend of mine, Imari Stout.
Love her.
Who is lovely. She sent me this in a text message. And she sent me this article from CNN. It came out on March 8th. Today is March 11th. And it is, the headline is, a teacher tells his class not to date African Americans because they're not worth it. I'm just going to read the beginning of this. A Florida teacher has been suspended after his school district concluded he repeatedly used the N-word in class and told his 7th and 8th graders not to date African Americans because they are not worth it, among other violations.
Wait, what state was this?
In Florida.
Yo, I have a Florida thing, too, that you
Dude,
just
I have
reminded
several,
me.
This could just be the Florida
it's,
episode.
But it's a white supremacist teacher,
Yeah, this
again.
Could just be the Florida episode.
Cool, let's do it.
David Swinyar, who says he is white in his personnel file, teaches math at Kernan Middle School in Jacksonville. The school has 1,148 students, 22.6% of whom are African American. So he's quoted as saying, if your boyfriend says bad things, and trigger warning, we're going to use the N-word here. If your boyfriend says bad things to you and or treats you wrong, that means he's acting like a nigger, Swinyar said, according to student testimony. You all should not be dating all these different African-American boys because they are not worth it. And he goes on to say a lot of other really terrible things, basically saying that if his daughter was dating an African-American, he would beat him up. And Imari...
Jesus Christ.
Imari sent me this. So this is a call to action. Because she contacted the superintendent about him being allowed to, this teacher being allowed to stay on teaching. Because to me, that is an unsafe learning environment for every African-American who's in that class, every African-American who teaches there.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it's even unsafe for people who aren't African-Americans because it's teaching them things that are going to be harmful in their future years.
Yes.
For everybody, I mean, in the long run, the black
and
community is what's going to be hurt. But
well,
it's like
everyone.
It's just,
yeah, it's detrimental to everyone. Ugh. He shouldn't be in a position to be teaching our students.
No.
You know, and a wide variety of different races.
No.
But so Imari, being who she is, did call the school.
Love it.
And talked to the secretary, and the secretary, who is an African-American secretary, basically said that her opinion didn't matter. And that it was the policies that mattered and they couldn't get rid
of
him.
I'm so glad she was so candid. And
yeah,
like,
she's like, my opinion doesn't matter. The superintendent, who I think is also African-American, his opinion doesn't matter because of basically what the school's policies are. They can't get rid of him, which to me is insane. So she did share this with me and said, if you want to contact the superintendent of this school and express your displeasure with this decision and tell them how wrong you think it is, the office phone number is, get out your pens and pencils, ladies and gentlemen, 904-390-2115, or you can email them at Willis P, so W-I-L-L-I-S, the letter P, at DuvalSchools.org. So Duval is D-U-V-A-L schools.org. So again, that's Willis P at DuvalSchools.org. So I thought that was really cool that Amari sent that to me, and definitely something that I care about.
Yes.
And is horrifying. So,
well, do you want to hear something very similar?
Absolutely.
I do have something, guys. Okay, so a middle school teacher in Florida who has admitted hosting a white nationalist podcast has been removed from her classrooms as officials investigate whether she is really a racist.
What do you mean? If she... Look, man, if she hosts a white nationalist podcast, she's a racist. Like, do we need to dissect this?
It says officials at the Citrus County School District, about 80 miles north of Tampa, Florida, said that they were made aware of the podcast called Unapologetic last week after being contacted by HuffPost. The news website reported on Saturday that the teacher, Diana Voletich, was connected to the podcast. Although the podcast and Twitter account, which Ms. Voletich operated under the pseudonym Tiana Delichov.
I'm sorry. You have a pseudonym, but you're unapologetic. You can't be both those things. Either own it or don't. You know what I'm saying? You. You're apologizing.
Yeah. Appeared to have been taken off the internet, and HuffPost report included a recording of the podcast and screenshots of tweets sent. She argues that science has proved that certain races are smarter than others and brags about preaching white nationalism in her classroom.
Hey. Fuck off. You're shit.
And then she hides it from the administrators. In tweets, she makes references to horrors of hashtag Islam attacks, the concept of white privilege, and says it isn't hateful or supremacist to prefer your own people over others. She admitted to using the pseudonym on social media and on her podcast, but insisted she was not a white nationalist. She said she had not allowed her political beliefs to seep into the classroom yet.
What? Okay.
So as you read this more, she talks, she's part of this community where, like, it's other teachers who are white supremacists who talk about getting their point of view into the classroom and, like, how she does it and, like...
That should scare the shit out of every single person of color. Every person.
Yeah.
But in particular, every person of color who has children who are in school. And
yeah.
What did we just say on our episode on Monday? Your worldview, whether or not you intend it to, is going to color everything about your life. If you are a teacher and you are a racist and a white supremacist, you can say, I don't let it color what I'm doing in the classroom, but you 100% do. Of course you do.
Yeah, and she's trying to say that it's satire. This is more of a...
Bullshit.
Oh, no, it's complete bullshit. Yeah, she... It goes on to talk a lot about how she, in these kind of, like, chat rooms, discusses the kind of the ways that she is able to encourage her beliefs upon her students and how she feels that she's doing a public service. Yeah.
I'm always way more sassy during these mini episodes. We've had like a good amount of wine at this point, and it's just like I have no fucks to give at this point. I've run out of chill. I've completely run out of chill.
She's just pure hot now.
I'm just pure, like, my body is just one bag of red wine at this point.
Bag. I like how it's a bag.
It's a bag of wine.
Not a bottle. It's just a bag.
No, because
your wine on your phone is going to slip and fall.
I think about my body. It's a, like, my body's just like a skin bag. So it's just a skin bag full of wine at this point. You know what I mean?
I need to take better care of my skin bag. It's super dehydrated.
It's all saggy.
It's just like
and shit
leather
at this
point.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a saggy
all
leather
the tannins
skin.
From the tea and the coffee that I drink
yeah.
is drying it, out
yeah.
my skin bag.
Oh no, sorry.
So if we want to continue down this path of Florida is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no. This is not a Florida is terrible thing. This is a Florida tried to do something decent thing.
But Keegan is a bag of red wine right now. So
yeah,
she's
so
going to say everything.
Whatever
horrible.
Comes out of my mouth, I'm sorry, Florida. Look, man, we get it. It's not you.
But it is you.
So this actually is Florida trying to do something good and the NRA being what the NRA is, which
yep.
is absolute garbage.
Garbage. Okay, I do have to say, though, Florida has some great teens.
Yeah, of
some
course. Yeah, we're going to have a whole episode. We were talking about having a whole episode on millennials and Generation Z and how we get, we're millennials and then there's a generation after us that's Generation Z. And both of us, I feel like, get a lot of heat.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't. And we're rad. And
we're bad, we're mad.
I tell people that all the time. They're like, they'll not want to claim that they're millennials. And I'm like,
yeah.
I proudly claim that I'm a millennial because I'm not buying into all this shit that we're like, shitty or entitled or lazy or any of that stuff. And I think actually we're really inclusive. We're rad. We're pushing for social change. And so is Generation Z. Yep. So on that note.
And continue.
So the National Rifle Association, also known as the... Did I say that? National Rifle Association.
No, my hearing is horrible.
Also known as the NRA, filed a lawsuit over Florida gun control laws. So this article came out on March 9th, I want to say. And the National Rifle Association filed a federal lawsuit over gun control legislation Florida Governor Rick Scott had signed, saying it violates the Second Amendment to raise the age to buy guns from 18 to 21. The Second Amendment.
Show me receipts.
Yeah, I want the receipts. You need to tell me where in the Constitution it says that the right to own a gun needs to happen when you're 18 years old. You need to tell me that. So the lawsuit came just hours after Governor Scott, a Republican, signed the compromise bill on Friday afternoon. Lawyers for the NRA want a federal judge to block the new age restriction from taking effect. I don't know what that means. The new legislation raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21, extends the 3-day waiting period for handgun purchases to include long guns because, duh.
No, I'm just laughing at your face and like the whole.
Because
like,
I was gonna say fucking duh, but then I was just
so
like, maybe rein in the
duh,
rein in the
fucks,
yeah,
all the fuck.
So it extends the 3-day waiting period for handgun purchases to include long guns and bans bump stocks that allow guns to mimic fully automatic fire, which is what happened in Las Vegas. It's good luck for you.
Thanks. I have all of my hair in front of my face.
You're hiding behind it because the world is shit.
it's my shield.
It also creates a so-called guardian program that enables teachers and other school employees to carry handguns.
Stop. That's like the thing that is enraging me so much.
It's because so freaking stupid.
I was talking, Chris and I had... We always have these conversations in the car. It's funny. Like, we're always, like, on our way to do something fun, and we get into these, like, serious conversations. And lately, it's been a lot about gun control.
The personal is political.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Political is personal?
But that one's going to be... Because usually the mini-sodes we do are going to be out before...
Yeah, but this time we did it in order.
Good. Love it. Okay. So... what she said. Chris brought up a really good point that he's like, what if, like, a teacher has a really bad day?
Yeah, and this is something we've discussed before, too. Yeah.
Or what if the... Have we...
On our last mini episode, we talked about that.
Or, like, what if a student gets a hold of it? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're also...
It's gonna cost more money to train all these teachers in guns.
And here's the thing that I didn't think about before, but I saw people posting about, and then I was like, yeah... You know, Philando Castile was a teacher who was also a licensed gun owner.
Yeah.
And him saying he had a gun in the vehicle got him shot and killed.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to also extend this to minority teachers or black teachers. Do you want to be the one holding that gun when the police come in?
No.
No.
No, you
don't. Like, how are the police supposed to distinguish between a good guy with a gun and a bad guy with a gun?
Yeah. Have you heard about Shelter in Place?
No.
Shelter in Place, I put a video up on my Facebook, and maybe I can put it up on Twitter. It's basically these shelters that are being built in classrooms that can fit can fit an entire classroom, if not two, and they can all evacuate and get into the room within 30 seconds. It's a safe room, and they use it on a day-to-day basis as, like, a quiet reading place. Like, look at the inside. It's, like, pretty. It's pretty spacious, and it's a place.
But it's a panic room.
It's a panic room. It's basically, it's bulletproof. It's things like that. But there's also a TV screen, or a screen, I guess, in the room where there's a camera that you can see outside. So they can, like, ensure that...
It makes me sad.
It's sad, but it's actually good thing.
I'm so happy it exists.
Yeah.
I'm so happy it exists, but it's also so sad that this is our reality.
Yes.
Like, this is our day-to-day
now. But we have to adapt to what's happening.
But that's what's so upsetting to me, though, is, like, we are coming up with every solution except maybe put stronger restrictions on guns.
Totally.
We're coming up with every restriction except for that.
Yes, and thank God for these people. It says bulletproof, stormproof, safe rooms for schools. And I think that there's multiple uses for them. They say it's inexpensive. They can be put in very quickly.
I'm happy they exist.
I think that's great. It is so sad. And that was my first reaction. But then I just thought about it and I was like, if I were to be sending my child to school, it in this day and age, it would make me feel better to know
of
that
course.
That's a
they
that
have
exists.
Things in place at least that like prevent that.
Because like kids hiding under desks and
not enough. It's not enough anymore.
And they can break down doors. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many things that can happen. Yeah. Like you need a facility that is.
I agree. And it's good. It's just it also makes me very sad because I'm like there are so many other
steps that can be taken.
You know, and like preventative actions.
But if they're not going to be doing it, then we have to step up and get shit done.
Of course. So with that said, I know we've been saying it every episode, but I feel like we'll probably say it every mini episode until the event, March for Our Lives. We're going to be there March 24th. And if you want to, if you're in the LA area and maybe you want to meet up with us, send us a DM and send us a DM and we will contact you and we'll find a place to meet up. I would love to have as many like ragers as possible together.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good place to kind of get together. And I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about going on this march, you know?
Keegan, look at the bottom of my foot.
What the hell happened to your socks?
I don't know.
Madigan looks like a newsie from, like, 1919. Like,
these are holes, my favorite socks.
Holes in your heel,
I
holes
didn't
in
realize.
Your toes.
I have a huge hole in my heel and two holes in my toes, and I can't even feel
That's
it.
That's okay. There's a hole in this hoodie.
That's fine.
So you're fine.
Like, what the fuck? There's one in the other foot, too.
Yeah, that's a well-loved pair of socks.
I love them. They're my favorite. They're like the ones that I wear with boots, so you can kind of see my socks at the top, or like,
no,
I'm wearing...
No, they're cute, but girl, it's time.
I need it, but I can't... Ah! But I can't get rid of these until I have another pair to replace it.
Wah, wah.
Guys, send me socks. Sorry, I just
Or
like...
Bomba socks, sponsor us, because I have a pair of Bomba socks, and they... Like,
are they knit like this?
This is not an ad. No, but if you listen to podcasts, you always hear people do like Bomba socks, and this is what they are. And they donate like a pair of socks to like homeless people or
love it
every time they sell a pair. Anthony's brother got me a pair for Christmas, and they're freaking awesome. But anyway,
sorry guys, I'm sitting cross-legged, so like my bottoms of my feet are staring at me. And that whole conversation, I was just staring in awe at my bare heel in my socks.
Okay, so let's move on to, I feel like we're just going to ride this train, but Madigan, you saw Black Panther?
I did!
Did you love it?
I loved it. The girl that played the little sister,
Shuri,
is
amazing.
My favorite thing in the world. And I loved, I can't remember the names, my short-term memory, the bald woman who wears all the red.
I can't remember either, but the warrior
loved
queen.
Her. I mean, I loved Lupita Nyong'o. I loved everybody.
That woman is badass. Like, she's in Walking Dead, too.
Yes.
And she's hardcore in Walking Dead, and she's hardcore in...
wish I was typecast as hardcore.
Oh, she's so good. She's so good. Like, honestly, thinking about that movie makes my heart swell and, like, makes me want to cry. Like, all
it
the
was so amazing.
It's so good.
I enjoyed every second
moment
of
it.
That
it's
movie.
It's so good. And
Michael B. Jordan, even as a villain, is sexy as all hell.
Surely. Yes, surely he is. And also, he... I feel like it's one of the best constructed villains.
Yeah.
Because you get it. You're like,
you
I get your
you
point.
You totally get
like,
it.
Like, you are a villain and, like, you know, you're rooting for T'Challa the whole time.
Yeah.
But you are, like, at the same time, you're like, I get why you're mad and you're making some really good points. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it.
Yeah, it makes the struggle real. I just loved the beginning when he's in the museum because it sheds a light on the way that African culture is being used in museums and, like, how the stuff, these artifacts were stolen from them to be shown in, like,
And it shows that
culture,
this is
know?
An intellectual. Like, he's not just a, like, I feel like villains are so often portrayed as just, like, brutes, like, you know.
Yeah,
like, and
thugs.
He, yeah, and yeah. he, and he's not that, you
no,
know.
No, he's not. But I really, really love that it shows how things are stolen from cultures to be shown in museums. Like, I love museums and the way that they teach and things like that. But
right.
there are times where it's kind of the way that they go about obtaining their,
right. Yeah, and
objects are not always the best.
That
you
was
know?
Something that we were going to talk about. I went to when I was in New Mexico. I went to the Albuquerque Museum of Art, and they have a their main exhibit right now is Making Africa exhibit.
Yes, I love all those photos you sent me.
It's all African artists. Uh-huh. So you do have some white artists there from South Africa, but like it's, you know, it's all like African artists, artists out of Africa. And they had an amazing, it's probably the best, like most well curated museum exhibit that I've been to in a really long mm-hmm. time. And that was something that was cool about it, was that it wasn't, it was Africans talking about Africa mm-hmm. and like what that meant to them. And
it wasn't the white woman going up to the black man in the museum being like, do you know what this is?
Yeah.
Like in Black Panther. I was like, oh God, you're
and
so
I,
stupid.
I took a picture of one of the art pieces, which I can post on our Instagram, was Africa, and then it had other countries fitting inside of Africa just to uh-huh. show how like vast it is.
Yeah.
And we think about Africa as being this one kind of place.
One way, yeah.
And it's so much more complex than that.
Yeah.
And like there are so many cultures, and mm-hmm. I love that about Black Panther too, that they really like
showed
dove
all
into
of the different tribes mm-hmm. and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had influences from that.
Yeah.
But the reason why I brought that up again, okay. Black Panther keeps getting brought up, but the reason why I brought that up is because as of yesterday, which at the time of this recording is March 10th, would be yesterday, Black Panther broke the 1 billion mark in the global box office.
Love it.
Which is in just 26 days. 26
yeah.
days, they broke that 1 billion mark. So that is...
Did you love Jimmy Kimmel's quote at the Oscars where he was like, during the first 46 minutes of this show, Black Panther got another $48 million, you know, just kind of joking. And then he goes something like, and it's going to be the... Fuck, he's so much more eloquent than I am. So something like, and it's gonna be
the movie.
He's gonna be the movie next year. That's gonna fuck. I'm gonna look it up. I'll say it later. Something about how like it's so loved, but it's not gonna win any awards. Basically, it's gonna be the movie that's overlooked for all the awards.
Well, I was listening. God, I listen to so many freaking podcasts. But I was listening to the Culture Kings podcast, which is like three black guys. They're comedians. It's from the How Stuff Works Network. If you'd like pop culture, and they talk too much sports for me, I have to fast forward through that. But if you like pop culture, you should definitely listen to that. But they had a whole conversation in their last episode about the Oscars and diversity in the Oscars and how incredible it is, which we can talk about right now, that Jordan Peele won for
yes.
Get Out. And
so brilliant.
Yeah, and how it's so surprising.
Yeah.
He is the first African-American to win for original screenplay, and only one of, like, six, I want to say, to ever be nominated.
Yeah.
So that's incredible, you know?
Oh, interesting. Black Panther is going to get a big Oscars 2019 push from Disney, apparently.
What? Really? Well, they should win for Best Costumes hand fucking down.
Oh, they should win for a lot of things.
But the costumes were... I remember thinking, watching that movie, like, this woman is Ruth Carter, I think her name is. She's mind-blowing, what she did with those costumes, man.
Oh, yeah.
God.
I can't find the quote, but it's something, if you've seen the Oscars, you know.
And we'll make a graphic, and we can post it on Instagram if we think of it. So, I have some other things, but I kind of want to talk about something else real quick.
Go for it.
So, this is kind of a weird thing to talk about. But we are recording on a Sunday, and on Friday, I wanted to talk about this because I thought, you know, it's not a big deal, but then that's what made me want to talk about it, because it's not a big deal. On Friday, I'm pretty sure, I would say I'm like 90% sure, that I was roofied. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. We went to a bar that we always go to. We're regulars at this bar. And Anthony and I shared a drink. Like, and this is why. Because when we woke up the next day and I was super disoriented and I was like, I don't know what happened. I was like, okay, don't freak out. Maybe we just drank too much. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we just drank too much. But then I started thinking about it and I'm like, no. I had one drink before leaving the house. Then I got to, like, when I was getting ready. And then I got to the bar and I had one drink and then Anthony and I shared a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 2.5 drinks. And then I remember coming home and feeling fine. Like, Amy and Emerson are my friends. We were there for Amy's birthday. They dropped us off. I came upstairs. I felt fine, and they said I was fine. Like, mm-hmm. I was totally fine. And then I remember telling Anthony, like, all of a sudden, like, I feel really, really, really sick. Like, I feel really sick.
Really?
And then nothing. And then I remember waking up the next morning we were on the couch. I was somehow in a t-shirt, but no, like, no pants. Like, I was in my underwear and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd changed. There was a bucket beside me that I'd, like, thrown up in. I don't remember putting it there. I don't remember falling asleep on the couch. I had worn false eyelashes to go out. My makeup was still on. My eyelashes were still on.
Wow.
I didn't brush my teeth. Like, and I was like, I don't remember anything. And Anthony was like, I don't remember anything. And so then I was talking to Amy, and she was like, do you remember when we were at the bar and a guy, like, you have to understand, you know, we talked about this in our first episode. When I'm drinking, I'm like a good time girl, man.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
totally. Like, Keith I'm is like the most fun.
Open to everyone. And so this guy at the bar, it was the only time Amy and I were really away from our significant other standing mm-hmm. together, and these two young guys came in. I remember telling Amy, like, that guy doesn't even look old enough to be in here. And they came in, and the guy came right up to us and was like, you want to see a magic trick? And I was like, yes, because that's who I am, you know? So he got out, like, a deck of cards. I feel like there was a quarter involved or something, and, like, showed us a magic trick.
And then this guy behind you fucking put a pill
well
in?
Amy was like, that was the only time we set our drinks down and didn't look at them. And I was like, it's weird that he wanted to show us a magic trick.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, the point of this whole story is to say, I wanted to talk about it because the way that I've responded to it has been very, like, wholly with humor, and, like, nothing happened to me. So
but
my
it's
response.
It's so weird when you don't remember shit.
Right. And my response to it has been very, like, haha, isn't this kind of funny? But it's not funny.
No.
And it's like this sort of thing happens to women every day, and it can yeah. happen that easy and that fast.
It's interesting that, like, the stories that I've heard about being roofied, a lot of times it's women and men who are in relationships, and they and their significant other end up getting roofied.
Yeah, well, because I think when he saw us two women alone at the bar, because they walked in.
Yeah.
And Amy actually ended up saying to him, like, oh, I'm engaged or whatever, and he asked her to point out, like, her fiancé. I think he thought we were there alone.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize.
And then is like, fuck, that's yeah. a that's
And then
a
they,
big
they
dude.
Did they did leave. They did leave. But, like, he, this is a place where we go so often that I feel so comfortable there.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, because I'm not somebody who lets my guard down at bars, but, like, we're there all the time. We're mm-hmm. regulars at this place, you know? And I leave my purse lying around. Mm-hmm. I never think about things like that mm-hmm. at a place like this. And it's something that I wanted to address because
I think it's good that you did.
It is so common, and I don't think people understand. And what would have happened if I'd been there on my own? What would have happened if I drank that whole drink to myself? Like, it would have ended very differently for me. And yeah. I can kind of sit here and, like, make light of it and be real cavalier
because
about it.
Because nothing happened, but it could have.
Right, and I shouldn't be, because this happens to women every day. I have friends of mine who have been roofied,
yeah.
and I just want, like, people to know that this is a Me Too story. Like, it yeah. is like a, this happens to women all the time.
Yeah.
And so, it was just something I kind of wanted to, like, bring up.
God.
You know, because when you were talking about how disoriented you felt,
yeah.
that was me all day yesterday. I was just like, I feel so disoriented. We both left our jackets there at the bar because we left without them. Like, we had to go back and get them yesterday. Anthony doesn't remember getting home. And it's very bizarre to not remember anything.
Yes.
Like, anything. Because I remember feeling really sick. And then I remember getting up in the morning, and that's it. I don't remember. It's a black hole.
I have never blacked out before.
Have lost moments. I have never lost time like that. Like, I have never lost, like, having zero recollection.
Yeah, throwing up and not remembering.
I don't remember throwing up. I don't remember getting myself a bucket to throw up in. Somebody put that by me. It was either me or Anthony, and, you know. So it's just like, it's just something I kind of wanted to address, and, mm-hmm. like, I wanted to let people know that, like, if it's happened to you, hopefully, you know, my case is a best case scenario for being yeah. roofied, you know, because nothing happened to me, but, like.
But can you imagine waking up and being by yourself, maybe, and not knowing what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Or being with someone else, like a stranger.
Yeah, but can you imagine, like, rape cases where you're by yourself and you don't know, and then kind of, like, getting memories back of that night, and then I'm watching.
Or even just having a feeling of, like, I feel like something happened last night and I can't put my finger on what
it
was.
Have you watched? Okay, so I'm on season 3 of Broadchurch. Should I tell you that?
Oh, yes.
So it's the, I love Broadchurch. It's the rape season story. The rape story. Mm-hmm. So I'm only on, like, episode 3. I gotta watch
it. It's so good.
But I think that's probably kind of what happened to this woman. She doesn't remember anything, but she knows she was sexually assaulted, and it's just like, ugh.
And it's just so violent. Like, even if you're not sexually assaulted,
it's still very
violent. It's still so violating.
Because you know that was the intention.
Well, and you also know, like, someone put something in your body without your consent.
Yeah.
And it also, it does take away this, I'm so trusting and open and fun. Like, I shouldn't tell people, like, I'm so fun. But, like, I like to have fun, and I like to be really, like, I like to trust people.
Yeah.
You know, I like to make friends with girls in the bathroom at bars. Like, I'm that person. And, like, it does feel like your trust has been so violated.
Yeah.
In situations like that. Yeah. So, if that is something that you have gone through, just know that, like, you're not alone.
No.
It happens to people. Be very cautious. I know it sucks to have to watch your drink every minute, but, like, it can be a split second. It can be a time it takes to pick out a card from a deck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it can happen that fast. And make sure you have a good support system with you.
Definitely.
When you go out, you know, so that you've got people around you to keep you safe.
Yeah.
And you're not alone. That's it. Okay.
Well, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, like, that I know we usually try to end on really positive notes, but I just wanted to kind of, I was not going to bring it up, but I was just like, no, this is something that women go through.
No, you should.
And men go through.
Definitely.
And it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think it's good that you definitely brought it up.
And if I see that guy again, I think I vaguely remember what he looks like.
Motherfucker.
Well, do you have anything else?
Do we have anything positive?
Oh, God, I don't know. My Black Panther thing was my positive thing.
Damn it, keep it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad that you brought that up last, though, because I feel like that was really important.
Yeah, and in the show notes or in our Instagram post, we will, we can provide some numbers for support for, you know, sexual assault or sexual violence. So, If you're needing support, if you're needing someone to talk to, there are resources out there for
definitely.
You, and we'll definitely try and link those in.
I just went on Jezebel real quick, and apparently Scientology is launching a TV
show. I had that. That was on my list of things to talk
so
about today.
So maybe Danny Masterson will get a new show now. My friend worked background on The Ranch the other day, and I was like, damn, go Ashton Kutcher, because they've been friends forever. So, like,
problematic people are problematic. Gotta
exactly.
cut them out, man.
Nice is different than good, guys. Nice is different than good.
Well, and linking that, like, Scientology wants their own network, and everyone, if you want to feel better after this, well, okay, it might still make you feel kind of shitty, but it's John Oliver, so you'll feel shitty in a good way. You should go watch Last Week Tonight, the most recent episode, where he talks about the NRA and the NRA TV. Because NRA has TV channels, and, like, Roku and Apple and Amazon are not, like, splitting with them.
Yeah.
Which is shitty. But it is bonkers. Like, NRA TV is insane. And I imagine Scientology TV will be much of this. Like, these people don't need a TV channel.
No. Did I talk about Big Mouth in this episode or in the one that we just
You've
recorded?
Talked about Big Mouth in a couple of episodes.
Okay,
not
so I'm
going
to mention
though.
It again, where they're doing the Crucible, but it's the Scientology version of it, so it's the Tom Crucible.
Oh, God.
I fucking love that show.
Guys,
Scientology, like, paid for,
like,
half of their auditorium.
I feel like Scientology is going to come after us, but no, they're not. They don't give a shit about us. They don't know we exist. That's fine. But just for the record, yeah, Scientology is a cult and we think it's bullshit. I'm speaking for both of us.
Yes. Wait, that's not my... I'm just kidding.
You're like, sorry, I was actually going to try and recruit you. Is that not what we're doing?
Is that not what this is? Oh, no, my toe popped out of my sock.
Oh, God. You look like a... Okay, well, on that note, thank you guys for listening. And like I said, I will link some stuff in the show notes to help you if you are suffering either mentally or physically or dealing with
mm-hmm.
any kind of issue like that, sexual violence, or just trying to get your head wrapped around the fact that maybe you were roofied and, like, how violating that is. But in the meantime...
Oh, wait, no, I have one more thing to say.
Okay, never mind.
We have a new platform that our episodes are up on, and we should have talked about it in our last episode, because we're now on...
iHeart? We're on iHeart.
And we're on Radio Public, too.
Oh, yes, okay.
So we really, really encourage you guys to listen to Radio Public. It's an app. It's a way for you guys to listen to podcasts and to be able to financially support the people like us who are making the podcast.
We do get paid listens in the effort of, like, full transparency. We do get paid listens on Radio Public.
Uh-huh.
And so if you want to get your fix of listening to our podcast. If you do it anyway, you might as well do it through the Radio Public app or through the link in our bio at our Instagram.
Does it cost people anything
to listen? It does not.
That's what I'm saying, is I don't think that it costs anybody anything. I think
it doesn't cost you anything, and it's good for us. I know everyone has their preferred way of listening. Yeah. I like to listen through Apple Podcasts. I get it.
I like to listen through Stitcher.
We do get paid listens if you listen on Radio Public, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's the same as listening anywhere else.
Yep.
So you can get the Radio Public app, or if you're listening on your desktop, we have the link in our bio on Instagram, and you can listen there.
Yeah. So just gonna throw that out for you.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. And I know we just told you to listen on Radio Public, but we are also up now on iHeartRadio, so you can download episodes on iHeartRadio.
We're on Spotify.
We're basically on everything, I think, now.
I know, it's exciting.
Just about everything. So definitely, and if you listen on another platform that's not available, then let us know.
Yeah, because we want to be available to anybody. Well, yeah. I mean, but then how would they hear this?
Well, but I don't know. Maybe they're, I don't know. Maybe they found us somewhere else and they're like, okay, I'm listening to you on Apple Podcasts, but I would much rather be listening to you on something else.
Got it.
Okay. Let us know. And we
encourage you
to rage on.
Rage on. Eventually we'll get that.
I don't know if we ever will.
We probably won't. It's fine.
Goodbye.
Later, guys.